If you find your way back to your seat, the soft chairs are up front.
Yeah, Jerry even said so. Oh, except for Art, he's got the seat of the house.
Not that this is anything noteworthy. There's a TV sitting on the table back there. If anybody wants it, take it home with you today, okay? If you need a TV, there's a TV back there. Take it home with you today. Now you can have twins. It's all a matter of perspective. All right. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8 today. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to continue from what we talked about last week, and when we talked about authority. And authority is really important, but there's some things about authority that I think we need to understand. And this story here today will kind of summarize some of that, and then we'll dive around a little bit more. But Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in deep and terrible suffering." And Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you have believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, today that your word speaks loud and clear, that it's not just the law of the letter, but the Holy Spirit will unveil it this morning. The Holy Spirit will reveal it. Lord, to those that love you and love those that need to know what is important to you. For Lord, it is of no desire of yours to reveal your word to those who will never use it. But your word to be revealed to those who love you and honor you and use your word, it is the joy of your heart to reveal it. And so Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will continue, not only today, but in the days ahead as we step out of this place of worship today, that the word will become something very active in our life. It'll become something very dear to our heart more than it ever has before, so that we will use it and use the authority that you've given us as believers, as followers, as disciples, as apostles in your kingdom. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you today for the blessing of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. When this centurion came to the Lord, it's interesting how he understood authority from a military standpoint. And interesting thing about military is there's not much choice other than do what you're told. Right, Ray?
That's right. That works at home, too.
That works at home, too. Here's the altar if you need it. Let's see, Valentine's isn't for a while. You got some time to cover. uh, But it's interesting when we look in the natural, why is it that when we see natural authority function, we say, wow, that works really well. But when it comes to God, all of a sudden we've got a democracy where we get to vote whether we decide to listen or not. And you know, God can't build his kingdom on that kind of democracy. God needs submission to his authority. And his authority is what needs to be functioning. And so I have to lose the fact that I have rights. I have rights. I have a right to be angry with you. I don't care what you've done to me, I have a right. No, you don't. Not according to Scripture. I don't have to forgive you. I have rights. No, you don't. You lost them when you surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You surrendered to a whole different authority that needs to be surrendered to. Otherwise, you will not be an active member of what God wants to do. And then when you're not an active member in what God wants you to do, you'll get frustrated and say, well, God never talks to me. God never does. Yes, he does. It's just that he can't use me. He can't use me in my state of unforgiveness or bitterness or hatred or jealousy or whatever it is. He can't use me in that. Why? Because he doesn't use those gifts to minister through his people. So I have to learn to surrender to his authority. When I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, I've surrendered to a new king in town. I surrendered to a new lordship. I surrendered to somebody that saved me out of a condition I couldn't save myself from. So once I'm saved, then I surrender to I get saved, I get healed spiritually, and sometimes you can get healed immediately physically as well. But all of a sudden now the Bible says, now I begin to renew my mind, I take up my cross, which is my identity, and I begin to walk faithfully, consistently down the path, the road that God has given me. And when I learn to carry that cross and walk in that obedience to what he's saying, then I become an active member of his body. But if I don't learn to walk and I just sit and I wait for everybody else to do what needs to be done, no matter how much God speaks, we're not walking. We're not doing what needs to be done. And how many of you know God did not save you and I, Warren, to sit still and do nothing? I didn't get saved to sit. I got saved to be a part of an active body that functions in situations like today where you pray for each other, you lift each other up, you help each other walk through things. And then when you walk out these doors, you do the same thing. The only thing is you've got a whole different audience. You see, when you come to church, you've got an audience that usually is conditioned to worship and honor God. Most of the time, church should not have to ever preach salvation, because the believers should be in the church being educated to live what the Bible says. But once you walk out these doors, then you and I have a whole different audience. We have a divided audience, so to speak. We've got those that hate God. We got those that are curious about God. We got those that are partially serving God only when it's convenient. And then you got those that are really committed. And so you got to learn where it is that you are and who you're talking to and what you say to them, because I don't take an unsaved person and say, well, have you got filled with the Spirit yet? Have you been preaching or talking in tongues yet? Have you prophesied over anybody? And they're going, huh? That doesn't work. You've got to know who you're talking to. And so when you learn who you're talking to and you recognize what's going on, the Holy Spirit will begin to instruct us on how to minister. But many times we lose track of who we're talking to, and we get excited about something that we learned and can't wait to tell anybody, and we don't care who it is, we tell. And that's just some of the excitement. But the reality is that if I'm going to learn to walk like God wants me to, I have to learn to surrender my life where I'm under authority. In our story today, the man says to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house, and here's why. I'm in the military, and when I tell my guys to go, they go. When I tell my guys to come, they come. He says, there's no arguing. There's no, well, I just don't feel like it. You know, oh man, Lord, do I have to do it today? Can I do it some other day? Because, you know, I'm really busy. And, you know, I don't know. Do you ever do that to your boss, Ray? Not so much. Right. So if we don't do that in the natural, why do we do it to God? What liberty do we have that we can tell God, you know, not today, I'm really busy, God. I've got a few other things on my schedule, and if I don't get them done, boy, it's not going to be a good day. Well, it's not going to be a good day anyway when you and I don't surrender to the lordship and the authority of God. And so I need to learn as a body, we have to learn as individuals and as a body, when God is moving in our midst, we surrender to his lordship. We surrender to what he wants done. Then when the body begins to be instructed individually and in the body, pretty soon you've got the body working together to fulfill a purpose God had in mind before you and I ever showed up. But what happens when we try to do our own thing in our own ways and we come to church and just ready to do whatever we want and we don't care what God says because this is how I feel, and guess what? Nothing happens that day. Therefore, church becomes very uninteresting or very dull, and pretty soon it's like, well, I don't know if I want to go to church because I really don't get much out of it. Yeah, because you're doing your own thing. When you and I come here to do our own thing, we're not going to get not anywhere close to the things that God wants me to know when I come here to do my thing. But when I come here to do his thing, and I don't care if church goes all day, I could really care less. Because it's not my church. It's his. He gets to do whatever he wants. He gets to do however long it takes. I'm not on my schedule. I'm on his. And if people don't like that, then go to Menards, get a ladder, and get over it. I don't know what else to tell you. Because I'm going to be held accountable because of what I do here. I'm going to be held accountable of how I held his presence while I'm here. And if I don't hold his presence in the way that he wants me to, guess what? He won't be pleased. And I don't know about you, but the Bible says that Jesus did everything his Father asked him to do. He didn't do one thing out of line. Why? And yet he came as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He left his deity in heaven and came and walked on the earth so you and like you and I did, so we could identify with him. So when I learn to surrender to him, I can say, I'm learning to be like Jesus. I'm surrendering my will, I'm surrendering my ways, and I'm allowing him to speak through me and do whatever needs to be done in me so that God is pleased and honored. So at the end of my life, I can hear those great words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So after this centurion told Jesus, he says, I know what it's like to be an authority. I know what it's like to say to people here and there. And he recognized that Jesus didn't come to him with a regular authority like the Pharisees. He recognized he had authority that could do something way beyond what anything else could have. And he says, so just say the words and it'll be done. Now, I don't know about you, but he recognized something about Jesus the Pharisees never saw. He recognized something about his authority that he had, so that when he walked in that authority, guess what? It happened. So Jesus sends him home and says, go ahead, go home, your servant is well. And they found out that his servant was healed the very same hour Jesus said that. I don't know about you, but that's an authority that you and I have to recognize that God wants to use today. Jesus did all that then to be an example to you and I that we walk in that same authority. Is he not your brother? Of course he is. Scripture tells us Jesus is our brother. We are adopted into his kingdom. And he's my brother. And if that's what God did through him, God will do it through me, because he tells me to imitate Jesus. The scripture tells me to do the same thing. In fact, Jesus even told his disciples, you will do what I've been doing and even more. So when we see those kind of words, we shouldn't be surprised that the Lord wants to do those things in us and through us. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. We read this last week, but I want to read it again. Matthew chapter 9. Beginning with verse 1, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men had brought him a paralytic lying on a mat, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." He didn't even ask. Isn't that interesting? Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin." And then he said to him, to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home, and when the crowd saw, they were filled with awe and praised God who had given such authority to men. Do you notice that it started out with authority to Jesus, and then at the end of that parable, it says authority to men? That means it's not meant to stay with Jesus. It's meant to be you and I too, that we walk in that same authority. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I can have people come to us and ask for forgiveness and we can forgive them. That's not what that's saying. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus is the only one that can forgive sin, washed by the blood, covered under the blood. But if my brother sins against me, I can forgive him, and he can forgive me, and we can have a common ground of forgiveness, and God says that's okay. But as far as coming and having our sins under the blood, that's only Jesus Christ can do that. That's the only way that's the only authority we have. And I don't know about you, but to hold unforgiveness against anybody is really kind of silly. You know why? Because you're joining up on the devil's team. So just let it go. God will take care of them. I promise you, He is a righteous and just God. He knows how to take care of people who you think probably are trying to get away with something. I don't know about you, but I used to try to get away with something. And God took care of me. He didn't have to bring anybody to shove it down my throat or nothing. He convicted me in the hour I sat with Him in His presence, and He brought that to my attention so I could make it right. But if a brother or sister does come to you and say, I love you, and this is the reason why I love you, and you've got some things I think you need to look at, you better not be resisting them either. Because the Lord will bring people into your life that will speak into your life to get things out of the way quicker so that you get right with God. And so it's really, really important that we learn to recognize these things that God wants to do. So Jesus does have this authority, and He's demonstrating. Now turn over to just one more chapter, Matthew chapter 10. And let's begin reading with verse 1, and then we're going to jump to verse 5. He called these 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority. Who did He give authority to? Disciples. What are disciples? Aaron? Disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. Only reason I asked him, because he says that all the time. But they're disciplined followers. So for me to say that I'm a disciple, that means I'm a disciplined one that serves Jesus Christ, and that's my goal. That's my desire. That's everything. That's what a disciple is. And so I learned to be that disciple, that follower of Him. So He gave His disciples followers. So let me just ask you this. Is God going to give an undisciplined follower authority? Of course not. But why do we think that He should? You ever watch some of the people function who don't obey God and they still want to function in the kingdom? You remember in the book of Acts? Where I don't even remember all the details, but I'm just going to summarize it. There's this man that wanted to buy what, was it Paul? Peter. Peter was doing, and he says, I wanted to buy that. And he said, he went to pray for somebody, and he says, Jesus I know, and Peter I know, but or is it Paul? Paul I know, but who are you? In other words, he tried to buy his way into the kingdom, and he couldn't do it. And even the demons knew that he didn't come with authority like Paul did, or like Peter did, or like Jesus did. He says, those guys I know, but who are you? How you know that's a bad day when the devil talks to you like that? That's a bad day when the devil can kind of blow your bluff. So how in the world are you and I going to walk in authority? First of all, we've got to come into relationship with Him. Come in relationship with Him so that He becomes the Lord, Master, and King of my life. Once that takes place, then I begin to listen to Him like a military person would, saying, whatever you say goes, God, I'm ready to do whatever it is you ask. Why? Because I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Therefore, I honor you with my body. 1 John 6:19. And so it's really, really important that, or 1 Corinthians 6:19. So it's really important that we learn to surrender under this authority. And so this man that Jesus talked about back in the centurion, he said to Jesus, he said, I also am a man under authority. Therefore, I know that if you say this, it'll be done. You know, it's interesting that you can't use the authority that God has given you until you're under authority. So if I don't walk in obedience to what God has said, I don't have any authority. In God's kingdom, I don't have authority. Now, if a UPS man drove up in a UPS truck with a UPS uniform carrying a box that he's delivering to New Life Fellowship today, all of you would say, yep, he's got authority to deliver that package. Why? He's got the license, he's got the truck, he's got the uniform, and he's got the ability to carry it because the boss let him carry it. He has an authority to do that. He has the authority to carry what has been given him. What does God give to those that follow him? He gives them a uniform. He gives them a license to carry his name. And when they carry his name, he has the ability to carry the goods that need to be delivered to those that need what God is wanting sent to them. And so the reality is that we need to be under God's authority before we can become an expert in authority. I promise you that if I were to tell you this morning, in the name of Jeff Capel, I take authority over this place, and most of you would go, yeah, whatever, yeah, right. Why? Because you know I don't have any authority. Just because I'm pastor doesn't mean I can tell you what to do. Isn't that right? Come on. I shouldn't have to tell you what to do. Not my job. That's God's job. But if I walk into a room and I'm already a believer and I have Jesus Christ in, I can walk into a room and say, in the authority of Jesus Christ, I can speak to any demonic power and it has to leave. Not because of me, but because of who's in me and whose name I carry. That's the authority we have. So therefore, why do you think God has you here? To carry that same authority to dispel the enemy, to take land back and territory back that is rightfully God's, to see your kids and my kids walk with God, to see your neighbors and my neighbors walk with God, to watch our people around us become saved, filled with the Spirit, walking and loving God, so when heaven comes one day, they can't wait to get there. Instead of people saying, man, I just don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I just don't know if I should. I wouldn't even accept myself if I were going to heaven. Well, maybe under your condition that might be so, but Jesus has a way to fix that. And so we need to make sure that we use that authority in everyday life. And so verse 5, then these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, pray a sinner's prayer. How come he didn't do that? I don't know either. I'm just saying it's not in there. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for your journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Now keep watching what happens here. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah than on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. He sent them out with a specific mission. He sent them to a specific place. Sometimes I think we just think we just got to just go out and go anywhere we want. No, I don't see that. The Bible does say go into all the world, but here he gave them specific directions of where to go and who to touch and who to minister to. And I don't know about you, but I don't know that God is into just throwing seed everywhere, hoping somewhere it lands, that it might. I don't see that in the ones with the soil. He said some seed landed on the path, some seed landed on the rocks, some on thorny ground, and some on good soil. And guess what? Which produced the good soil? So why would I spend my time throwing seed on all this other ground? When I should preach the gospel to them, they get saved, their heart becomes good ground, then I begin to plant seed. Does that make sense? Of course it does. No, I don't know where that came from. That was from my flesh. It wasn't from the Spirit, I promise. Oh, scratch that. So he gave them this message. He gave them specific things to do, and that's what he told them to go. He go to certain people, and I find that interesting. I don't know if I've ever caught that before, but just the sequence of events and what he was meant to do, I just find that really interesting as that unfolded. So he says, here, an interesting thing about it is too is that if somebody doesn't receive the gospel from you or receive what the work that you wanted to do, what did he tell them to do? Stand there and argue with them? Shake the dust off and keep going. Don't get all offended that they didn't listen to you. Just shake the dust off and keep going. Because some of the seed that you maybe laid there will lay there until their heart gets right. You don't know, and I don't know, but the reality is, he said, just shake the dust off. But the authority that we have here is this. As you enter that home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. That's authority. I have the ability to speak the peace of God over that home because it's receptive. If it's not, I shake the dust off, I keep the peace to myself, and I take it to the next place. I don't get all offended that people aren't listening to me. So the reality is there's an authority there that God gave them to lay hands on the sick and to heal, to raise the dead and to cleanse a leper and those things. And he gave them that authority. You and I will have that same authority as we go about doing the very same things. Turn over to Mark chapter 16 real quick. The Great Commission, of course, we've kind of talked about that. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Isn't it interesting, the sequence of events of those who believe? Believe and then be baptized. Powerful things there. Then he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. And after the Lord had spoken this to them, he went up to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. So there should be evidence of the things that God wants to do through you and I. Guess what? God didn't ask just preachers and evangelists to do that. He asked his body. That's why you and I have job security for the rest of our lives. We have a job to do, and God wants you and I to do it. He needs you. He wants us. When we prayed for people this morning, that's a part of you. Now, when you go outside these four walls, tomorrow morning when you go to work, and all of a sudden your coworker says, man, I have a splitting headache. You know what? Hey, you know what? Yesterday in church, we learned about the authority of God's word, so would you mind if I prayed for you? And you take the authority of God's word and pray over them, because why do we pray for healing? Because we know it's from heaven. Why do we pray for peace? Because we know it's from heaven. Why do we pray for strength? Because we know it's from heaven. He promised all those things. I mean, so no matter what, we get to be a part of that active part of that kingdom. And so it should be evidence that those things are happening. There should be signs following us of those things that take place. Okay, one more scripture and then I think I'm done. Hebrews chapter 10. With authority comes responsibility. If a police officer walked in here today, had all the garb on, and said, okay, you're coming with me, Pastor Jeff. Do you think I'd go? I would. I'd talk to him about Jesus the whole way there. No. let my people go. No. But why would he have the authority to do that? Because of his badge, because of his gun, because of the boss that sent him here to... He would have authority to step in here and do that. Now, if that same officer lived in our community, broke every law, never followed any of the road rules, never did anything that resembled being a police officer, do you think that you and I would have honor for his position as a police officer? Of course not. You and I would be calling his boss saying, I have my phone camera right here. You're a police officer doing everything he shouldn't do. What are you going to do about it? You are an authority. You have authority to take it. And of course, a police officer in charge would bring him in and make sure that he hears what needs to be done. Because if you're going to use this uniform, if you're going to protect and serve, then this is the responsibility you have in our community. So why doesn't the church take that same responsibility? If you're going to come here to church, when you walk out these doors, you have a responsibility to uphold this book. And if you're not going to, maybe you need to decide whether you should come to church or not. Yeah, that's not a very popular saying, is it? Why should God have to put up with a bunch of fakers? Come on. If I'm going to call myself a believer, then I have to grow in this book. The more I get into this book, the easier it is to do it. But if I'm only going to spend a couple minutes with God a week, I promise you, you will not live the Christian life the way God wants you to. If I ate at McDonald's for breakfast, for dinner, for supper, and had a midnight snack lunch because they're open till 2 in the morning, I promise you, my body would reflect that. So why is it that we think that we can only spend just a tiny bit of time in here and try to represent a God who's so big and so amazing? You see, that's why God just really challenges us as a body to live out what we believe. And this is the reason why. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers, so we know who he's talking to, he's writing to Christians. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over to the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on and toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's all the good stuff. Now watch. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. You mean to tell me that if I don't follow what God's saying, I'm in the same category as the enemies of God? Yep. I didn't write it. He said it. I'm just reading it. Why would Jesus save me only to sit and live like the world? Why would he do that? He wouldn't do that. He came to, according to what John said, he said he came to make me in the image of his son. That is his great desire, is to make sure that Jeff Capel grows in his faith, grows in his understanding, grows in all that's going on, so that he begins to live out what Jesus would live out if Jesus were walking with him. That's the responsibility we have. So if I'm going to call myself a disciplined one, a disciple, a person who loves Jesus, then I'm going to have to learn how to walk with God so that I don't end up in that category with the enemies of God, only waiting for a fearful expectation of judgment. because I deliberately keep on doing the things that absolutely destroy God's testimony. But the key word there is so small. Verse 26, if. It's not that you get to or you have to, it's if you do. So you and I get to make a choice. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of the judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. I don't want that at all. Not for you or not for me. So we might as well get in. Get all we can with God and start walking more and more like Him. Spend more time with Him, reading His Word, getting an understanding that only the Holy Spirit can give us. And because we can't wait to be with Him, He can't wait to reveal Himself. But I promise you, He won't prostitute Himself. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Men who go get a prostitute have a one-night stand. They don't ever see them. They don't ever buy them flowers. They don't ever pay their bills. They don't ever do anything else other than get some satisfaction. That's prostitution. So when you and I live the way we want to every day, come to church, throw a little bit of money in the offering, would you consider that prostitution? Ouch. Huh? I'm going to go play and dabble with the world all week until then when I come back to church. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, here's some money. Not much different, is it? And God didn't save us for that. The best part is God saved us to enjoy the relationship with Him and to learn to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk out and live a life that honors and pleases Him. That's what He desires out of my life. That's what He wants out of me. But I have to decide that I want to spend time with Him. I have to decide that I want to get to know Him. I have to decide that I can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning. I don't care if it is 1:30 in the morning, and spend time with Him. Because I can't wait to be with Him. When I was dating Carol, it didn't matter how long my class was. I was thinking of her. I was waiting to see her. But if we ever do that with Jesus, oh, you're getting fanatical now. Don't get too fanatical. No, that's exactly what He wants. So we might as well enjoy it, huh? So today we're going to have church the rest of the day. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody has a nervous laughter. How many offerings are you going to take, Pastor? No, He can't wait to spend time with you. He loves you so much. He really does. But you know what? We have a responsibility with the authority that He's given us. If I want to see the devil flee, if I want to see the sickness and disease flee, if I want to see things change and I have peace of mind and all those kinds of things, then I have to learn to walk in obedience to His Word. When I walk in obedience to His Word, guess what? That brings God's hand right along to help me do whatever needs to be done. But God cannot bless disobedience. My life or anybody's life, doesn't matter. He will not bless disobedience, so we have to be really quick to make sure that we honor Him with that. Would you stand and pray with me? This morning, it's for me, it's really humbling that God would choose me to do what I do. And I don't ever want you to feel like I don't appreciate you. And if you do, I'm sorry for that. But I long for this body to be so much exactly what God wants that I don't know what else to do but to make sure that God has His way when we come together and do what needs to be done. So this morning, not because I'm asking you, what is God asking you today? What is He talking to you about? Because He's an individual God as well as a church body God. He does both. What is He saying to you today? And if you don't know what He's saying, I pray that you would stay until you hear what He's saying. Or find a place where you like to pray, where you know you'll hear His voice, whether it's at home or wherever. And then whatever He says, I pray that you'd be willing to do
without asking any questions. Just say, yes, Lord, I'd love to do that for you. I can't wait to do that for you. It'd be my pleasure to honor you today by doing that. And so would you just consider taking just a few moments of your time this morning and talk to him about what is it he's wanting to say to you. If you want to, the altar is open. If you feel like that's a more comfortable place for you to pray, or if you don't kneel where you're at, that's fine too.